Good morning, City Life. Good morning, City Life. And this morning, I want to speak about Simon Peter, otherwise known as Simon Bar-Jonah, Cephas, Peter the Disciple, the Restored Peter, or Peter the Apostle, who are all the same person, and yet he had so many aspects to his personality and his life. So I've called today's talk, He Restores My Soul. But firstly, let's give you a bit of the background to Peter's early life. Hopefully there's a picture. Wonderful, thank you. He was born Simon, the son of Jonah, in the fishing village of Bethsaida. He then went to live in a house in Capernaum with his wife and mother-in-law. Simon worked as a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee with his brother Andrew and business partners James and John. And as you can imagine, working as a fisherman, it would have been hard work. Often they would have to work through the night. They would have had to gone against storms and all sorts of things. And after that, they would have to come back and tend to their nets. And so it would have been a hard job, not for the faint-hearted. And it was this way of life that shaped Simon Peter's early character. Because as we read and get to know the young Simon Peter, we can see that he's quite an impulsive, loud, outspoken, quick-to-jump-in kind of guy. And, you know, I can see a couple of nodding heads here, kind of saying, I know someone just like that. Well, I hope you do. I really do. Let's pray. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, would you open our eyes to see the wonderful truth in your word? May we lay down the busyness of our week and not be distracted by the noise of the world. Let every deception crumble in your light. Fill us with your wisdom and compassion. Lord, we're grateful for your love and for your mercy. And so in that, Lord, we pray, let our lives show your goodness and grace. For we pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go to God's word. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one of whom you see the Spirit descend and rest on, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples as Jesus walked by. John looked at him and declared, Look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following him. What do you want? He asked them. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher. Where are you staying? Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Peter's brother was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, Your name is Simon, son of Jonah, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. You see, Jesus not only saw who Simon was, but who he would become. I'll say that again. Jesus saw not only who Simon was, but who he would become. He could have looked at him and thought, you know, no, you're just a fisherman. And after all, you're impulsive, loud, brash. But our Lord didn't. No, he looked and said, Simon, you will be called Cephas. And that's actually an Aramaic word meaning rock or small stone. You see, Jesus saw his potential, not his flaws. Jesus was naming Simon in a way that would reflect the path that he knew he would eventually take. And, you know, since I've been studying this the last couple of weeks, I've really come to see that it's so important on what we're called and what is spoken over us. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of seeing a brother and sister in Christ come down here as they were dedicating their beautiful child. And Sunday was holding his daughter and he's just singing, oh, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful blessing. It's so important and so precious what we speak and what is spoken over us. Another thing our Lord has shown me while studying about Peter is, and I believe that this is for someone today, that as Christians, as born-again believers, we're never alone. We may feel alone, but we're never alone. Jesus is always within reach. And I believe that Peter starts to see this here as we continue to read in Matthew 14. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And at this point in Peter's life, we can see that he successfully walked on the water when his eyes were fixed on Jesus. But he began to sink the moment he focused on the wind and the waves. Was Peter perfect? No. Are we? But as we focus on Christ, the impossible becomes possible. May I say that again? Possible becomes possible. And you know, failure is not final when we call out to Jesus. For he is a God of second and third chances. His grace is unending. It is inexhaustible. For when we slip and fall, and we will slip and fall, Jesus is never too far away. We can trust him in any circumstance, in any storm. Can I have an amen to that? Amen? Let's remember that our Lord looks for steady growth, not instant perfection. We live, and seeing the youngsters here, we live in a world now of instant this, instant that, instant coffee, instant food, instant relationships, instant breakups. We see that around us. Have you a storm in your life? Have you a storm at the moment? Turn to a brother or sister and say, Jesus is greater. Just if you don't mind, turn to a brother or sister. Jesus is greater. Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Now, by this time, Peter had seen many miracles performed by Jesus. As we know, he'd seen the water turned into wine during a wedding. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And Peter watched Jesus heal a man from leprosy, as we just read. And Jesus walked on the water. Plus, there were many more miracles that Peter saw. And yet, as we know, even though being in the presence of our Lord and witnessing all these miracles, Simon Peter, this tough first century fisherman, still had human weaknesses. And our Lord knew, for we read in Matthew 26, Jesus replied to Peter, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." You see, Peter's problem was not that he didn't love Jesus, is that he relied on his own strength, not realizing that fear can come upon any one of us. I've had it happen in my life. Fear came upon me. I wasn't expecting it, but it can come upon any one of us. Now, I'm sure he didn't wake up that morning thinking that it was any different to any other day. He certainly didn't think that he would deny Christ three times. Could you show the film, please? I'm guessing that most of us know the story. But grace is coming. You see, Jesus knew, for he had already prayed for him, and he told Peter during the Last Supper. He said, "Simon, Simon," notice he calls him Simon here, "Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." And as we saw, Peter wept out in the courtyard. Well, we didn't see, but we nearly saw that Peter wept out in the courtyard, and he wept bitterly. This big, strong fisherman fell to his knees and wept tears of repentance. You see, godly sorrow leads to repentance. Not just, "I'm sorry." Peter didn't do that. He didn't just kind of go, "Oh, I'm sorry." No, it was a real, genuine, godly sorry, if you like. You know, my mum used to say to me when I'd done something wrong, "Christopher, say sorry." And I'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mum." And she'd say, "Sorry for what?" I guess there's a few other people's parents. Their mum said, "Sorry for what?" And you go, "Oh, that I got caught?" No. I heard of a man who had been a Christian for many years. But for one reason or another, he didn't quite trust God. And so he tried to control things. And he tried to control his wife, his kids, his friends, even his church family. And of course, this was impossible. And so he felt so alone. He described it as if he was in a big hole. And the harder he tried to dig his way out, the larger the hole became. Some days he would just claw and claw and try and control. And he fell flat on his face. And he cried out, "I can't do this no more, Lord." He actually got to where he was broken within. And it was only then that Jesus reached in and pulled him out. Well, Peter came to the end of his self-confidence. And he had to lose that so that he could find confidence in Christ and in Christ alone. And we sing that song, don't we? In Christ alone. I'll let you guys... Perhaps we need the words. Okay. And the story does not end there. In John 21, it says, "Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, 'I'm going fishing.' 'Where come to?' they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, 'Fellows, have you caught any fish?' 'No,' they replied. Then he said, 'Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the fish in it.' Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. 'Bring some of the fish you've just caught,' Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. 'Now come and have some breakfast,' Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied. 'You know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter said. 'You know I love you.' 'Then take care of my sheep,' Jesus said. A third time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Then feed my sheep.'" Let's just rewind a bit. Maybe put a picture up. Jesus, the risen Lord, is standing on the beach at the Sea of Galilee. He's made a charcoal fire, the same kind of fire that Peter sat down to warm himself in the courtyard when he denied Jesus three times. I'm sure the smell, the aroma, would have reminded, perhaps the sound as well, would have reminded Peter about the worst night of his life. But now, Jesus is restoring him. Not condemning him, but restoring him. Jesus knew that Peter had repented, and by the same coal fire, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loves him. One for each denial. What mercy! Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then take care of my sheep. A third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know everything. Then feed my sheep. such mercy. Peter had fully repented, and here Jesus was asking him to commit his life. He'd been restored. So my question to church family, do you love Jesus? Do you love him?
Yes.
Then let's read together 1 Peter 5:10. I've got a different version, sorry. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you had suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Amen. The Lord restores my soul. Could we have the song on, please? Could we have anyone that fancies volunteering? We're just going to turn a page over once we get the song up. I'm going to just speak over you, church family. You are secure. You are valued. You are a new creation. You are loved. You are known. You are precious. You are forgiven. You are created for God's glory. You are restored. You are God's child. I just want to speak that over you. Bless you.